Assistant Education Committee, please come to order. This is Friday, January 24th, 2014, 8 a.m. sharply. In attendance are myself, Senator Gary Stevens, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy, Senator Huggins, Senate President Huggins, Senator Gardner, and Senator Sedman. We have a quorum. All of us are here. Today we'll take up Senate Bill 111. Relating to the secondary school competency exam that we all know of as the exit exam. It's my intention to hear this bill today, take testimony on it, and hold the bill for further review. Not my intent to close testimony on this bill today, so if there are individuals out there who aren't able to attend today's hearing, there'll be another opportunity, several opportunities undoubtedly, to provide public testimony. And, of course, written testimony is welcome at any time. As many of you know, the governor is introducing an omnibus bill. We have not seen it yet, but it's my understanding that that bill will include the issues in this bill. So exit exam, I think, will be in that. We'll deal with that later. The other thing I need to say for the committee's point of view, I'd like to make this a committee bill, if that's acceptable to the committee. We can deal with that. There's some changes that are coming along. So we have the bill before us. Mr. Tim Lampkin, our committee aide, is here. Tim, would you please introduce Senate Bill 111?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you is Senate Bill 111. Senate Bill 111 repeals the Alaska Secondary Student Competency Examination, also known as the High School Graduation Qualifying Exam, and most commonly known as the Exit Exam. Frankly, there's not much more to say about the bill in terms of what it does. It simply repeals that from the books. There's not a lot of opportunities that we have to strike language from the books, and so this is one of those opportunities that we're inviting the committee to consider. In terms of specifics of the bill, the first section deletes the exam reference in the Department of Education's annual report to the legislature. Section 2 deletes the same reference to the exit exam in the department's annual report to the public on school performance. Section 3 deletes the reference to the exit exam in the department's school accountability system. Section 4 deletes the reference to the exam in the charter school operational requirements, and Section 5 repeals the competency test requirements in and of themselves. And then finally, Section 6 provides for an effective date of 2014. Now, there's a couple of policy considerations you might want to consider as we move forward with this bill, and policy considerations, one of them being the effective date. There are a number of adults out there that may have failed the test in the past, and what you may want to consider the option of allowing them a fair shake to come back before we abolish or repeal the exam, to give them an opportunity to own up to the test and pass it. Likewise, so that phase-out consideration may be along the lines of say, 2017 or so, a little bit of a phase-out time, just an idea. That was all I had to prepare with you this morning, Senator. I'd like to turn it over to the department to take up any questions or to examine the bill more closely.
Thank you so much, Tim. Any questions of Tim? Yes, Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Yes, and this question comes from the written testimony of a school district that sent it to all of us and said they couldn't attend today. And that question was, what about students in June of this year? If we're going to repeal it, why would we phase it out? Why not have it take effect immediately so that students who are in school, seniors this year, don't have to deal with it?
That's a very good question, and I think that's one we'll be asking the department to address, the timing of the whole thing. And that's a very good question, and also just the need for doing this as well. So we'll get to that, the answer, Senator Gardner.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions? Thank you, Tim. Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner, speaking for the department today. Good to see you, Les. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you. And for the record, Les Morris, the Deputy Commissioner, Alaska Department of Education, Early Development. Chair, would you like me to start with
That would be great. If you could, I think, first, could you start with, is this really needed? If we don't retract this bill, is it absolutely necessary that we do that so that the department cannot use it? I've had people say that if we do nothing, it won't be used anyway, but it needs to be taken off the books, I think. Could you comment on that to start with and then get to the issue that Senator Gardner brought up?
From the department's perspective, the way that we read the law is it's actually really clearly in statute as a statutory requirement that students would have to pass a exit exam, and then in the uncodified law it gives a little more definition to what the exact exam is, and I don't have the exact words in my head, but it's essential skills of basic competency or something to that degree. So that's actually real clear in statute as to what would be required. So for us to remove both the exam in terms of its competency requirement and the requirement that students would pass it to get a diploma at a minimum skill level would have to be removed from statute for us to be able to remove it from the practice that we currently have.
Thank you. Les, any questions on that issue, comments? And then maybe if you go on then to Senator Gardner's question on the phasing out and the actual effect that this is going to have on the school districts and how they're going to respond to it and when they're going to respond to it.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner should have that down by now. I'm sorry.
I do it myself.
So the, I'm going to answer the question. Really, I think there are two parts in terms of phasing out. One is when does it go into effect, and when what effect does that have on which students? And so this bill, as it's currently written, I believe has an effective date of July 1, 2014. So anyone who was required to graduate in a school year from the date it went into effect up until next school year, the FY15 fiscal year, they would have to have passed this exam to receive a diploma. So any student who takes the assessment this spring, a senior, and actually, because the legislation may still be contemplated by the time the test is being given, we'd still offer it to all students this spring, because unless the legislation is passed and signed before that date, students really need to be taking that. And then if they intend to graduate this spring, they would need to pass this to graduate. The effective date under the current proposal is then July 1, so that affects the next graduation cohort and from then that point forward. So the other concern that exists in there, though, that I think the sponsor is contemplating potentially a shift to, or we've talked to the staff met yesterday, I think, with the sponsor, other people from the department, was really what happens to those students who are adults. Currently under the system, if you're an adult and you did not pass the exam, you have the right, and that's the only thing that prevented you from getting a diploma. In other words, you're an adult, you got a certificate of achievement, which means you met your local requirements to graduate, but you did not pass the high school exam. You have the right to come back and take the high school exam as an adult at any of our high schools. That's the group that I would probably be most concerned about, because there's several cohorts out there that didn't pass but may want to actually have a real diploma in their hands, and they come back and attempt to do that. So there's some transition for that group would probably be important in future years, and thus any student who didn't get their diploma this spring only because of that exam, they could come back for a period of time. Most states who phase this out, they put a period of years in there that phase out would allow adults to retake to earn their full diploma. So there needs to be some thought about that transition in that regard.
Thank you, Senator Gardner.
Thank you. So does the department have a recommendation or a preference as to effective date? Do you think the July 1 effective date, or why wouldn't we just say immediate effective date and then do something that addresses the needs of people who have a certificate of achievement rather than a diploma?
Well, my first thought is the effective date of July 1 or something in the next calendar year makes, or next school year, July 1 or on, does make sense. Otherwise, you're going to create some confusion this spring as the bill is being discussed in the legislature, and really we don't want people thinking, oh, this is going to pass, so I'm not going to take the test, and then at the end of the day it doesn't pass or something. So my first thought is having it be starting next school year does make sense, so July 1 or anything before the graduation time of next year, for that, to just avoid confusion this spring. I think, though, there could be certainly discussion about that within, as it goes through the legislative process. The only problem of an immediate effective date is, let's say it gets passed toward the end of session, the effective date's immediate upon signing. There's so many days for signing, and we do have people starting to graduate from some schools in early May. Do we have some kids who are held to the exam and others not because of the date of their graduation? And we just have to look at all that timetable. So some of that makes me think, well, there's some sense in a July 1 effective date just because of the confusion it could create in this spring.
Mr. Chair, I have another thought that I should have had before, and that is we contemplate having some other kind of marker of achievement in place, like AccuPlace or SAT or the ACT exams, which the governor talked about in his State of the State. If we don't yet have that in place, we could eliminate one bar and not have something else there. So, to think about.
If I could respond through the chair, Senator Gardner. Obviously, the governor's bill, I believe, is going to come out today, and you can take a look at what his proposal is. He did reference it, actually, in the State of the State, and really is around kids having a choice around ACT, SAT, or work keys, picking one that fits them best from their perspective, I guess, and the parents' perspective, potentially. So. That's actually been a caution that the State Board has had, as well as the governor's had in the past, is we could look differently at accountability, but perhaps we ought to be still having some sort of a indicator out there for students so that mm-hmm. they can do future planning. Not only, okay, I have 1.5 years or 2 years left in my high school career, what do I need to do to make sure I'm ready for whatever it is I might want to do afterwards, and what kind of assessment might give me that information. And also those particular tools help kids go down the APS path, whether it's a post-secondary 4-year degree program or a 2-year certificate program, and all of those tests can help a student qualify for that as well. So
thank you.
Something to contemplate, and when that bill comes up, you'll see the details behind that today.
Thank you. It's a difficult situation. We have a bill in front of us. We have a bill we have not seen, and we can't be dealing with a bill we haven't seen yet, but I think at some point we have to mesh them together and figure out how it's all going to work. So as I understand it, then, if we don't have a very firm July 1st date or whatever that date we might choose, then we might have students being treated differently, and districts and schools having different standards. And so I see, even though it appears to me that this is a popular issue and has the support of the governor, and I suspect it's going to pass, we don't know for sure. Anything can happen along the way, and so it'd be difficult to just make that assumption. Any questions on that issue or thoughts? Well, I think we've talked about the two issues that we were concerned about: is it really needed, and the impact on districts and on students. Les, we really didn't give you a chance to make any presentation. If you wanted to, would you like to go back to sort of an overall approach towards this bill? If you have any thoughts,
Mr. Stevens. Actually, it might be useful for me to come back once the governor's bill is out so we can talk about the context of them both. But a couple of thoughts. I mean, there's we really, I think, have shifted over time in terms of what we're trying to help students do. This law had a purpose, and actually I think a very important purpose at the time. It was to make sure we sort of have kids leave high school with some sense of some basic skills. If at some point we want to really dig into some data, we can. I think what you'd find is many students who at the end of the day have not yet passed that exam, they also have, for the most part, most of them have not met their local requirements. So it tells me that over time districts have raised their requirements to make sure that kids are getting their basic skills. So in a sense, the exam is helping us identify something that for the vast majority of students the local district is already identifying. And so but I don't know that that was true when the exam first went into place and held students accountable in 2004. So I think that's important to think about. Are we doing something that fit then, but maybe it doesn't fit anymore today? The other piece...
Before you go on, could you provide us with those statistics at some point? What has been the success? I mean, it'd be nice to know when we started it, how many students did not make it when they first took the test, and how many students are now making it. It'd be nice to actually have those figures if that's possible.
We can do that, and I can actually reference a couple things that are in the packet today, but I think the more historical information we'll have to provide to you. So in the packet itself, it has the current pass rates, the bill sponsor packet, so which is, you'll find a few pages in. There's actually the sponsor statement.
Under the test results on your...
So then there's the bill itself, and then the fiscal note, and then there's a briefing page. Shortly after that is a several tables that shows current results. It actually goes back to 2009, so it's 2009 through 2013, and it starts with 10th grade results. So these are the students taking it the first time, and then it breaks it down by the different subgroups on the second page. After that, of course, you see 11th grade and 12th grade. Now, these are just students who are retaking it, because it's only once you pass it, you don't take it anymore, or at least you don't take the subtest that you passed. So that gives you some current information in terms of the students taking it. But if I can go back a few pages, I hate to be jumping around to the briefing sheet that... It's actually titled HSGQE Relevancy, and I'm not sure. Is that in the same section?
It's just before that.
Relevant.
It's just page one, Relevancy.
If I could have you turn to the back page of that document.
Looks like this.
Yes. The front page does look like this, and it says Relevancy. And I want to go to the back page of that particular document. As I understand, it's in the tab... Relevancy. In this particular piece, what you'll see, I want to look at the particular group. The second tab down there says it speaks to the 2012 senior class cohort. So what we do is take a look at a cohort of students. How did they do when they first took it? And then students, by the time they graduate, if they go through in a natural four-year period of time, they have five opportunities to take the test. So after five opportunities to take the test, this group in 2012 of students, 90% of the students had passed all three parts of that exam by the time that they got to their point of natural graduation, a four-year graduation. Now, when you take a look at this, almost half of those students who don't pass that, I'm going to step back here. I'm going to look at some data from 2012. We had 1,597 seniors who completed the year but did not complete with a diploma, and that's in the next point. Actually, that goes back to 2010. Of that group, 53% of them had passed all parts of the exam. The remaining group, which was 751 students, did not pass the high school exam, but also did not pass their local requirements. And so you see that almost half the students that are not passing this exam, after they go through and have five opportunities to take this, also aren't meeting their local requirements. So the school district is already quite aware that those students haven't met the basic skills because they haven't met the credit requirements at that local district. Of this remaining group, it is in large part students who would generally struggle. The largest group in there still not passing that exam are students who typically would struggle in a standardized sit-down, take an exam, and that's our special education population. They're probably the largest population who, at the end of the day, don't pass this exam and then don't go on to earn a diploma. We could provide more data that's a little clearer of some of the things I just spoke of and then give you some historical information, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to at least outline that piece.
Thank you, Les. Could you remind us the testing days that are required of the exit exam? I've heard like 6 days a year, three a semester. Is that true?
Chair Stevens, every spring we give the assessment to all 10th graders and then 11th and 12th who've not passed the exam. And that's it takes 3 days for the 10th graders, and then depending on how many parts of the exam the 11th and 12th have yet to pass, it may be 1, 2, or 3 days for them. But for the school, it's a change in their schedule for 3 days. Then again in the fall, we offer the exam to any student who had not previously passed the exam or who is in 11th or 12th grade. So once again, you have 3 days. Students would take it for 1, 2, or 3 days, but again, the school has a change in their scheduled program for at least 3 days in the fall. So total of 6 days throughout the year.
So if it is unnecessary, if that's the decision, then in fact it would open up more days to classroom instruction and also relief to of some extent to teachers who are involved in giving the test.
Senator Stevens, that's absolutely true, and that actually has been an interest. Is let's focus on the assessments that really tell us information, help kids think about where they're at and what the next steps are. Last year, the governor mentioned in his speech the removal of the Terra Nova exam. The state board did that last year. This actually would eliminate another exam. And we anticipate, as we move to new assessments for our new standards, that we would have a language arts assessment that's more of a combined assessment. Nor today, it takes 2 days to take that assessment. If that's combined, it may just take part of 1 day instead of two, and a math assessment. So overall, we're looking at how do we get better information with less testing time that's valuable to students and for school accountability.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Morris. Any questions? Any further questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I'm looking at the timing of when the test is given. Is it ever given optionally to students earlier, like as a practice, 8th grade, 9th grade, something like that?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, the test itself is not, but there's a practice test that's available for anyone to take at any time and certainly could be utilized earlier. But the way that the statute and the regulations lay it out is that the 10th grade year is the first opportunity to take the actual exam itself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Les, I'm going to ask you about the history of the exam here in a moment, but I'll just look into the statistics. It's interesting to me, we look at, take the year 2009, students generally speaking did better in the 10th grade in 2009 than they did in 2013. So, you know, it just kind of harks back to have we affected any change, and these statistics may mean nothing is in that respect. But if you look at pure numbers, the answer is no. And I'll just use as an example, in 2009 in reading, 90% were proficient. In 2013, 83.5. Mathematics, in 2009, 80% were proficient, 76.5 in 2013. Now there's between those two, you know, they kind of even out a little bit, but the trend is down the first year to the final year. That's the first part. Mm-hmm. And there may be no point to be made off of that. But, you know, my interest is we as a society, but in this case our state, continue to struggle in my lifetime, and everybody I see here has been on the school board, maybe other than Senator Gardner. You've been on the school board? Yeah, so we've all been on. Okay, so three of us have been on the school board. And we've lived this kind of close combat, for lack of a better term. How do you affect change? How do you improve student performance? And, you know, quite frankly, I would sort of hang my head in our success in doing that. And maybe these numbers don't reflect that. But the exit exam does. Okay, so we externally says, you know, we're going to affect change in the school system, and we're going to measure how people have done, and we will figure that out, and oh, by the way, they'll do better. And it appears, because we're here today repealing it, that the answer is we didn't do much, and we're now frustrated, and we spent too much money, it takes too much time, and we'll be right back where we are. I support repealing of the exit exam. And, you know, Con Bundy's probably rolling over, you know, someplace worried about what we're doing here today. But, you know, what I would ask you, would you just give us a quick history of the exit exam? Because I think you were around when it was superimposed on the system. And I use that term, superimposed on the system, because I don't think it affected any change. But please.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins. Yeah, it was actually both in the school environment and then came to the state as we moved into this assessment. So the law passed in the late 90s to put the exam in place. The first group of students that were going to be held accountable to the performance on the exam was the class of 2002. Well, when the results came out from that, and this, I was still in the school system, so I'm a little fuzzy on the activity at the state level. But it was pretty clear that we had a lot of students who really weren't going to be ready to graduate based on the assessment. The statistics were worse than anyone had anticipated, and I think particularly in the area of mathematics. And so the assessment was redesigned to some degree, but state statute, to my understanding, is that's when the uncodified law was clarified around. It was to be a basic skills exam, a basic exam of essential skills. So it really shifted from some more 10th grade skills to a mix of 8th, 9th, and 10th grade skills at that point. So then the first cohort held accountable to it was in 2004. At that point, I was at the state, so I was involved with the implementation of the first year we held almost all students accountable. Special education students were not held accountable until 2005, just because of a lawsuit that we were involved in at the time. And so it's hard to say whether it had no effect or did have an effect. I actually think it, in some areas, probably did have an effect, and some students have, and then the school districts responded by increasing, I hope, increasing their requirements, because I think maybe providing that trend of student data that goes back to 2004 would provide more of a picture, and I don't have that in my head, so we'll make sure we give that information to you. There was one year that there was an adjustment made to the cut scores, and one test got a little more difficult, one less difficult, but we'll outline all of that. The other thing I noticed at this data, which makes me want to go back and dig into some other things a little bit more, is the population of students taking the test in those years dropped significantly in terms of the number of students. Mm-hmm. And that may have had an effect on performance, depending on which students no longer on the system, or what our population looks like in 2013 compared to 2009, because it's nearly 1,000 students difference taking that test as 10th graders, which certainly has an effect when you have that many go in terms of the performance. And we have some other assessments that break out that performance in more detail, and maybe a look at comparing those two would provide some more valuable data just to examine the policy that's been in place for the last 10 years. And I'm not sure if you had a second question.
If I might, then I guess what it begs the question, we've been through this, all right? And we're going to do something else in the future, and we'll do something else after that. And, you know, my interest is not dragging us through the history of it, but hopefully learn from what we just did. And we're fixing to do something else. And but we're doing something to a population of people called teachers and school districts. And if we don't get some results out of that, in my estimation, quote, affecting change. I mean, you know the statistics of dropouts and graduation and remedial training. And, you know, we as external to that are trying to figure out how we reach out there and touch and being able to enable. And the governor said, in, you know, in his speech, he said, we have a reform group and we have a more money group. That's a crass part of it, but that's generally speaking what he said. Both of them have the same goal of making things better for teachers and better outcome for students. I'm not so sure that we've moved very far with this kind of instrument. So when you look retrospectively, did we accomplish anything with the exit exam?
Through the chair, Senator Harkins, I still think that we did. It may have been for a smaller population and our students who achieve at the lowest level. I think school districts responded in a way of saying, and it's not to suggest they weren't before, but now with this accountability system in place, we had to think about all students and how do we get those students through. And I talked to he's a retired superintendent just the other day who said, you know, that was my goal, to make sure every student passed that exam. I did everything that I could to get every student through. The other piece that became responsive to that in his mind over time was instructional programs at my school had to change so I didn't have to sit with students five times taking the exam to get them to pass. I would only sit with them, hopefully over time, one or two times. So I believe, but I don't have statistics here to show that. Maybe we can see if there's more, or maybe it's more anecdotal information from districts. So my belief is that for our students who are struggling the most and have been the least successful, maybe the exam brought higher instructional programs to them over time so that they were achieving at least at the basic level before they left. But I have this sense that the school districts adjusted their instructional program as a result of the assessment over time. And so the assessment played a role, but may not need to continue to play that role anymore.
Right. Yeah, if I might, Mr. Chairman, I think what you said sort of lines up with, I talked about a half a dozen teachers, and for the most part what they said was, the exit exam was of utility for a small number of students who were underachieving, and it was kind of a carrot and a stick factor of being able to maintain a motivation because it was a hurdle they knew they had to clear. And some of them said, and oh, by the way, they're behind in the system, and you described that because of the districts, you know, changing, you know, what their curriculum was and what the requirements were to the curriculum. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. That's a very good point. Senator Huggins, because as I recall, I arrived after this bill had been passed, and the whole nation, many states were rushing to do this. We were not the first. We were probably towards the last. Many other states have done it, and people say, oh, there's an answer. Let's rush to that. We all tried it. It hasn't worked exactly as we thought, and I guess the warning is that what else are we chasing that is popular nationwide that is not working as well, that may not work in the end? So that's a very good point to keep in mind, Senator Huggins, Senator Seven.
It's more of a comment, less, I guess. You know, one of the things I like about the exit exam isn't so much the scoring here, but when I think back 20 years ago and I'd sit in the audience and listen to the superintendent come in and talk about the schools. And at that time, I was on the local assembly and, you know, involved in that arena, dealing with the school boards and budgets with it. But the presentation was always how great our kids were doing and how well they're scoring and everything's lovely. The business community in town was complaining that they can't make change, they can't function. You know, something, there's a disconnect here. And when the state started, you know, implementing this, it became apparent that there was problems, that, you know, I think the use of the data in some of those presentations suffered from benchmark error. And so everybody looked like they were doing great. And one thing I like about this is we can compare and look around our district and get a feel for all of our different schools and how the kids are doing. And I'm not opposed to removing this at all and changing, you know, going to another, going down another path. One of the fundamental concerns that I have as a policymaker is I want to be able to look across the district and across the state and get an idea of what schools need some, you know, special attention from us as policymakers to enable them to bring the kids up to proficiency in the three basics.
Can I
respond? Yes, please.
Senator Stevens, or through the chair, Senator Steadman. Whether this exam stays or goes, there will be data still available, but not on a student's high-stakes assessment. So if this exam were to go, we would continue to give some sort of assessment related to our state standards, which is currently prescribed in state law as well as federal law. So that data would be available. It just wouldn't be students having the same high stakes, which I know some people are concerned about. Well, then do students have the same level of motivation? Which actually takes a lot of work for schools to create that motivation in students in that case. So our intent would be to have an assessment with this level of detail, including the breakout by the different groups for grades 3 through 11 in a assessment system that relates to our standards, so that you do have that comparability. Because with the replacement proposal that the governor put out for this, it really is allowing kids to have a choice on that replacement proposal with the SAT, ACT, or WorkEase. And while every student will take one of those, that's not comparable. But the assessment related to our standards would indeed be comparable. So this removes one, but we'll still have data, because I think that is an incredibly important point, that without that, it's hard to really look at performance at that same level.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. We have several folks that want to testify, and we'll have lots of opportunity to ask questions. Senator Garner?
I have just a quick one. I'm very interested in the statewide chart that you've given, but it's the years 2009 to 2013. Can we get those same figures from implementation to 2009?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, yes, we will get that to you. There's a couple years that were adjustments in the score, so we'll make sure those are noted on the table as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. One final. Senator Stevens and I were talking the other day about a book called David Goliath, written by Malcolm Gladwell. Have you read that yet?
I have not, but I've heard it.
I'm not saying you got to go buy it and read it, but it does have some observations on education in our society. It's captivating. Is it accurate? Did he come to the right conclusions? I don't know, but it had some of the flavor and odor of what we're talking about here today. So, you know, I'll loan you my copy if you get bored sometime and need reading. Thanks.
Thank you.
Fascinating book, yes. Okay, let's move on to public testimony. I have plenty of opportunity to question and make sure we get the answers as we continue. Let's begin with Ed Graff, the superintendent of the Anchorage School District. Mr. Graff, are you with us?
Good morning, everyone. This is Ed.
Good morning, Mr. Graff. Please go ahead. Pleased to have you with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 111. I think the Anchorage School District most definitely supports the repeal of the HSGQE, and I just wanted to briefly share some of the points we considered that helped us arrive at this decision. I think you've probably heard a little bit from Deputy Commissioner Moore there. The HSGQE is aligned to old standards, obviously measuring essential skills and focused on the Alaska content and performance standards. And one of the reasons, I think, for the repealing of that is that with the new Alaska state standards, it would not be aligned to classroom instruction. So I find it would be obsolete or unnecessary. We're also looking at the new assessments that are being designed by AAI, and aligned to the new Alaska State Standards, which will include grade 11. So I think this itself would measure what the students know and they can do as they near their graduation. So the idea of having data that is valuable to the instruction would definitely be more meaningful for our teachers and for our students. Currently in the Anchorage School District, when we've had this HSGQE in place, we've had a number of supports that we have to implement in order to make this HSGQE possible for our students. It has a direct impact on our finances. It has a direct impact on the instructional time for students. And not to mention, we do have many conversations around waivers that we grant based on the statute that's in place for students who take or pass an HSGQE exam outside of Alaska or meet the guidance allowable under the current statute. So our recommendation that graduation should be based on coursework, not an exit exam, and we definitely support the notion of repealing this from the Senate Bill 111.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Graff. Do you have any comments on the timing we've discussed? It's July 1st, 2014, effective date. Some concern, you know, this may or may not pass. Concern about it looks like the students in this academic year will be required to take it, even though it looked every chance that it might not pass. So could you have any comments on that effective date? And then also the phasing out of it and students adults that want to retake it. Any comments you may have on the timing issue?
Well, the date I hadn't given consideration to, actually, but it is something that could potentially affect schools. We have many students who graduate over the summer, and this would be part of their requirement to ensure that they had passed that part of the assessment. We do offer HSGQE for adults, and currently support having them come over to our main office here and receive that assessment. So I know that does happen from time to time, where we'll have people who are no longer in our school system decide they want to come back and get their diploma, and will contact us to have that test proctored by them. So I think that there should be consideration for something that would allow a past student to rectify that if they so desired, so that they could achieve a diploma. I think there has to be some consideration to how they could go about getting that. I mean, we've had people, you know, 4 years later come back and say they'd like to take the HSGQE.
Sure. Well, thank you, Superintendent Graff. I guess we want to make sure that just because folks see us talking about this, so they don't automatically assume that they're not going to have to take the test this academic year. For the comments, Mr. Graff, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let's go to Bill McLeod, William McLeod in Dillingham, the superintendent of the Dillingham City School District. Superintendent McLeod, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us. Thoughts you may have on this exit exam, Mr. McLeod?
Well, our district is in favor of repealing it. We feel that there's a variety of ways that can be implemented to get at the issue of how well kids are doing. As the tests were initially developed throughout the nation, and they were minimum competency assessments to try and assure both parents, the business community, and the school system, and the legislative bodies that schools were turning out kids that at least had enough skills to be competent. We have many, and it's one element of many in reform that have happened over the years. I think it served its purpose. Annually, we don't have a lot of kids on the initial test. Probably fits the statistics that Les mentioned early. About 10% of the kids, maybe 20, that are 10th grade year, don't pass it. By the time they're seniors, we probably only have one or two kids annually, because of the HSGQE, that do not pass it. They typically go to our summer school, and some of them will complete it there. Those that don't, annually, we have an alternative school, and kids will enroll in that for remediation skills in the content area that they didn't pass in, and we'll build that skill set, if you would. Just had one young lady that graduated 2 years ago. She tried to take the assessment last year, didn't pass it, came back to our MAP school as a 19-year-old, took some remediation, and she just passed it on the latest assessment. So it does impact the graduation rate. The four-year rate is impacted. The fifth-year rate actually reflects a higher graduation rate for most districts because of the kids that do take that. And I think there are some better ways of getting at what we're trying to do here. One, if we need an assessment, I think a combination of the work keys and the new iteration of the SBA scores, which are based on proficiencies, and I think we could develop a differentiated diploma approach that would ensure both the business community, the educational system, parents, and the legislature how successful kids are in gaining those basic competencies that we're looking at.
Thank you, Superintendent McCloud. Good to hear from you. Any questions of Mr. Superintendent McCloud? Well, thank you, sir. Hope to see you soon.
You bet. Thank you.
Let's move on to Patrick Higgins, who's, I believe.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Pat Higgins. I am on the Anchorage School Board. I have been on the Anchorage School Board now for 6 years, and I am here to speak out in favor of eliminating the high school qualifying exam. A few years ago, I probably would have been a little bit more on the other side. I did see some advantages at some point where we were, at least when somebody was struggling with it, you wanted to at least give the public opinion that we were committed to higher standards, that we were trying to do some activity. But the exam really hasn't served that purpose. It's limited benefits to it. We've heard where someone talks about how the additional resources to put in when someone is failing it, which is a benefit to some degree. But Anchorage is focused really on trying to make sure that every child is advancing academically at least one full year. And in 2010, we adopted a board directive that we actually measure the academic growth of all the kids in all the grades, and we're doing that now, to really make sure that they stay on scale and that we identify them and put the resources there so that when students are not being successful in one grade, we identify it and we implement some response to instruction processes to help them. And we're seeing some real positive results. Now, our graduation rates have dramatically increased in the last 6 years. We were closer to 60, and now we're going to be approaching 80. And we are actually on scale to get to the initiative of 90% graduation rate in 2020. But we need to put the resources where it's valued. This test really hasn't benefited us in that degree. And what bothers me is that when I see some of the results, the ones that are really not getting through there are either English language learners with testing skill issues or some kids who are special ed who are completing the activities to get the diploma but having trouble passing the test. It isn't really identifying and supporting it. I like the idea of things like other states have done, like high school, diplomas, and you got some diplomas with honors for additional things and things like that. But I don't see this as beneficial. I think that we're taking additional steps. Additionally, with the new standards, and of course Anchorage adopted the Common Core state standards early, we are really committed to setting much higher standards than what this exam even comes close to. And I think that its value is, it just doesn't exist, and its additional resources that are much better spent in other locations at this time. So a few years ago, just for the public confidence issue, I may have said, wait a minute, I'm not sure about this. Today, I'm very confident that this is really an exam that has outlived whatever usefulness it may have had, and we should put our resources where it can be best used.
Thank you, Pat. Question, Senator Dunleavy?
Mr. Higgins, thank you. This is Senator Dunleavy for testifying. I just want to, I think I caught a piece of data, if you can repeat it. Did you say your graduation rates have gone from 60 to 80%?
Well, it's about, I've got to go back and check it again. It was close to 60 when I got on the board. I remember talking about how 4 out of 10 will not graduate. And today, depending upon your four-year or your five-year cohort, it's getting close to 80%. So we have had a dramatic increase there. We've seen our dropout rates, of course, go down. You may have seen that in the paper. Our academic scores is what we have to focus on. Those you haven't seen the advancement that we need. And that's why we're doing the testing at every grade to see how much they advance during the year so we can do intervention, and we're putting all those resources there. Because at the end, we put a lot of resources to help the kids in 9th grade, 10th, 11th, 12th to get through high school, but we have to invest more before they get to high school to make sure they're on scale, particularly with the new standards.
Yes,
our graduation rates have dramatically increased.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your comments, Pat, and thanks for your 6 years of service to the school board. That's certainly appreciated by all of us. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
We have with us Sunny Hiltz online from Saldovia. Sunny is the, I believe, the chairman this year of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Sunny, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Senator Stevens. Thank you.
Thank you. And are you the chair? Is that right, or the president?
I'm the president.
The president. Okay. Thank you so much, Sunny. Please go ahead with your comments.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak in support of this. At our annual conference in November, our membership debated and passed a resolution urging the repeal of the Alaska High School graduation qualifying exam. And as you've already discussed, not only does this take the 6 days, but as Superintendent Graff pointed out, there are other implications. Additional staff time is consumed through test proctoring, preparation for administration of the test, and monitoring security measures to protect the integrity of the test material. And there are considerable expenses incurred by districts in the air shipment of test material to our widely separated school sites. So where our member districts are constantly seeking ways to minimize classroom distractions and to maximize contact time for instruction to students, the high school qualifying exam works against that. And as we move to the new Alaska content standards, the test will not be assessing student competencies, and we really support the new assessments being developed through DED and feel they'll be a better indication of how our students are progressing. And another concern we have is that a test that assesses 10th grade competencies sends the wrong message to our students. They pass that test, and then they say, we've done what we're supposed to do. Why are we still here? And we want our students to continue with rigorous academic content courses right up to graduation. Passing the three elements of a 10th grade test is not relevant to a student's success in a post-secondary program or any other option they choose to pursue. So we definitely would urge you to pass out SB 111 with a do-pass recommendation to the full body. And thank you very much for this.
Thank you, Sunny. And how many years, Sunny, have you served on the school board there in Saldovia?
10 years,
yes. Very good. Thank
you so much. Not that long, but I started late.
You started late, yeah. Well, you were here when I started. I remember that. Thanks so much, Sunny.
You're welcome.
Jean Michelle is online. If we have questions, she's the in Ledge Legal. She's the one who drafted this bill, and if anybody has any questions, we can address them to Jean Michelle. Let's go on to Mike Boons in Palmer. Mr. Boons?
Yes, this is Mike Boons in Palmer. I'm not a school board member or school superintendent or anything. I'm just a retired United States Air Force, who also became a paramedic during the Air Force and after the Air Force. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and I've just been jotting down some notes, so if you just kind of bear with me. The first thing is, there were comments about these competencies, you know, making sure these kids come out of school with competence. What is competent today versus my generation? I graduated in 1971. I think we graduated with a lot more common sense than just being able to take a test. The SAT, ACT, those kind of tests, they don't really measure reality, because I did poorly on the SAT when I graduated in 71, but I did very well in life. When I finally went back to college after 20 years in the Air Force and used my GI Bill, I got an associate's degree in emergency medicine and graduated Phi Theta Kappa with a 3.87 GPA, whereas I passed high school with a C average, and that was a struggle. I got my, matter of fact, I got my first A in English at, in college, more thanks to executive secretaries that I dealt with in the Air Force than I ever did in high school, because I barely got a C in that. Not all the kids go to college, so I've, you know, this whole issue of, you know, doing SATs and everything else, it doesn't really impact, it only impacts a small minority versus a majority. What also would be interesting to know is what the past stats are for employability and outcome of graduating students in the workforce versus prior to those heavy-handed requirements we were now doing in education. And then what the testimony of the gentleman at the very start, he talked about 700 kids that didn't pass the testing. It would be really interesting to know what happened to those 700 kids. Are they fully employed and doing well? And lastly, we're testing two quizzes and year end-of-year finals. We put too much emphasis on higher math for most jobs, and we need more basic math and advancement for those who want, and then the kids want the advanced, they can take it, and that they want to go to college, and they can take that as well, but kids can't balance a budget in a checkbook now. And I strongly encourage passing of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Boone. You raised an interesting point. If we only find a tested common sense, that probably be good for all of us. So I appreciate your comments and appreciate the fact that you are supportive of this bill. Thank you very much, Mr. Boone. Let's move on to Senator Betty Davis in Anchorage. She's currently on the Anchorage School Board. Senator Davis, can you hear us? Betty Davis? Welcome back, and try to pick up Betty in a little
bit. Hello, Betty Davis is here.
Oh, hi Betty. Pleased to hear you. Thanks for participating, and glad to learn you're on the school board there.
All right, things are going well. We're just getting into the budget process, so that's not a good situation for us. And definitely, I support the passing of Senate Bill 111. And Senator Stevens, I want to thank you for introducing that and hearing it in a timely manner. For some time, you know that I have brought that bill before the House has passed on one side and then passed on the other side. So I hope this is the year, because DED has said within the last year that they were willing to get rid of the exit exam, but they had that five-year contract that they was living under, and they wanted to complete that. And I see that is probably at the end of that, and this is a great time for us to bring this bill back. It's not going to be any help to us to continue to have it, and the money can be used in other places. And most everyone has testified for that, and I hope that you have a real good understanding with your board that this is something that needs to take place immediately, because those monies could be put into the classroom and be very useful to us at the time when they're saying that we have a shortfall in education funding.
Thank you very much, Senator Davis. I know you've introduced the bill many times over the past few years, and hopefully the time has now arrived where we can actually pass the bill. Thanks so much for your...
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Betty. Let's end the room here is Larry Talley. Mr. Talley, thanks for being here. If you'd identify yourself, please.
Larry Talley, I'm here as a parent. First, I would like to thank Senator Stevens and Senator Davis and other people who have introduced this bill and prior bills that attempted to do the same thing. And I also want to point out that my written testimony is the next to the last item in the packet.
Thank you.
And as a parent, what I want to concentrate on is the human cost of the exit exam. And, you know, there's been lots of discussion here about how much it costs school districts in time and money. But so my son is one of the special education students. He took the test six times. And five times, of course, was while he was in school, starting his sophomore year. Again and again, he failed. Was told, you're not good enough. He was given accommodations after the first or second time that he failed. So with the accommodations, he was allowed extra time. He stayed until 6 p.m. taking the test, smacked in the face again, told he failed, wasn't good enough. My son wanted to attend college for, he was invited to a day on campus at the University of Alaska Southeast, went out there and got the T-shirt, decided he wanted to go to college. And through his high school career, well, we had the opportunity to send him to a summer program given by Landmark College, which is one of two colleges in the United States that specializes in children with learning disabilities. So between his junior and senior year, he went to that summer program, came back really fired up about college because now he'd seen a college that, that could work for him. Applied for that college, got accepted. So when it came to his senior year, he was taking the exit exam, failing it again. I think he only had one item, the math test, left that he hadn't passed in his senior year. But, the fall he failed it, in the spring he failed it. He was accepted into Landmark College. He walked down the aisle with his graduating class and was not given a diploma. Accepted into college, but couldn't go. The stress, the humiliation, the pain, it just, it's very hard to describe, but we went through that. My family lived that. After his senior year in high school, we paid for a tutor. He met with a math tutor on a regular basis through the summer. Took the test again in the fall. And sometime around Christmas of that next year, well, he was told that he'd passed it. But it was too late, to attend Landmark College with the class he expected to be part of. We could have tried to slip him into the spring semester, but, it wasn't clear that we'd hear about the test results in time to make that work. So we ended up going to Landmark College a full year late. And just by the way, that there's, of course, some concern that, people who get out of high school aren't, that can't pass this test may not be good for anything. Well, he worked for the year that he was not able to go to college. And he had a job that required him to be there at 6 a.m. And, he might have called in sick once or twice. But basically, for over a year, he was the guy that got himself up before anyone else in the family, got himself to work, put in a day's work, was dependable, reliable, the kind of person that I think most employers would kill to hire. And, he didn't have a high school diploma because of this test. And but he's still a valuable member of the community. So, another consequence, unintended consequence, because he failed the exit exam, he didn't get a diploma, he couldn't go to college, he was no longer a full-time student. He fell off my insurance policy. My family's insurance was provided by retiree insurance, which doesn't pay for kids if they're not full-time students. So cost me $2,000 in dental bills because he didn't pass the test. And, it's hard for me to say the name of the test without swearing. So anyway, I get kind of excited about this. Another thing I want to point out is, he had a 3.25 GPA in high school. Now, of course, he had accommodations. I'm not saying that he, was ready to become a rocket scientist or anything. But, he did his coursework. He did well on it. He worked hard. And, this exit exam was cruel and unusual punishment and, a horrible thing in his life. He would have been here to testify this morning. He happens to be still home on break from college, but he didn't think he could come without yelling at people or crying, so he's not here. for IEP students, for special education students, this is an incredibly stressful hurdle. I have a friend whose testimony is in the back of your packet. they said, you know, it's like asking blind kids to take a reading test, or, you know, kids in wheelchairs to, you know, do timed speed tests. And it's, you know, very stressful for IEP students, and it seems to me like that having the public education system smack kids around and tell them they're not good enough, you know, it's just the wrong message. The public education system should be about encouragement and, you know, emphasizing kids' possibilities and not about telling them they're not good enough.
Thank you, Mr. Trout. I know it's been hard for you to say this, and it would have been hard for your son, and it's hard to listen to it. I really apologize for the way you and your family were treated.
Well, I also should say that I really appreciate the school district personnel, you know, counselors, teachers. It took a lot of people to encourage Matthew to keep going, you know, again and again and again, being told you're not good enough and then trying again, you know. So there was a lot of really fine treatment, you know, evidenced from the system.
Oh, thank you. So he's in his first year right now at
he's actually in the middle of his second year.
Middle of his second year.
Yep.
Congratulations.
And he's been on the dean's list.
How wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's see. Let's,
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'd just like to say thanks to Mrs. Talley. And, you know, we're all proud of our parents, and people that aren't the parents of certainly don't have the same appreciation. And I'd just like to say, on behalf of our community and family, we thank you for support of your child under difficult circumstances.
Thank you, Senator. Let's go on to Liz Downing and Homer. Ms. Downing, are you with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for this opportunity to testify before you this morning. I'm Liz Downing. I'm the Vice President and Legislative Committee Chair for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education. And I've been on the board for, this is my ninth year now. Now, certainly our district and our board believe in accountability, but the HISCI's certainly no longer relevant. Formative and summative evaluation based on our students' progress towards our standards garners the information that allows us to remediate as needed, but simply put, passing grades should indicate successful completion of our courses. Grades provide a variety of approaches to measure learning, not a single high-stakes test. We need to place our trust in our teachers and our administrators to help our students reach their potential. I do like the concept the governor mentioned in his State of the State address the other night about the opportunity for students to take the SAT, ACT, or Work Keys. But I don't see that as necessarily a requirement for graduation. It should certainly be encouraged, though. And as a mother of a Homer High School junior, he and his friends tend to be successful students, and they certainly consider the HISCI a waste of time. So I agree with many of the things that have been said before my testimony this morning about the cost, the time, the effort, and certainly the heartbreak that has been caused by the HISCI over the past several years. And simply put, I think we need to put our trust in our education system, our public education, to reach for the goals that we have set out for them. And thank you for this opportunity this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Downing. I know we've met often, and I know you served for years. How long have you been involved with the school board there?
This is my ninth year.
Ninth year, great. Thank you so much for your contribution. We have one more person who'd like to speak to us. That's Barbara Parker. We'll go to her in just a minute. In the meantime, we have anybody else, Tim? We want to give an opportunity to anyone in the audience that wants to speak after Barbara speaks. So let's go on to Barbara Parker from Delta Junction. Ms. Parker.
Yes, thank you, members of the Senate Education Subcommittee, for giving me this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 111. the repeal of the HSGQE. I am testifying to support this repeal. I am a retired high school teacher and currently sit on the Delta Greeley School Board. The HSGQE is a graduation qualifying exam. If a student does not pass all three portions of this exam by the end of his or her senior year, he or she does not get a diploma, only a certificate of achievement. This is the antithesis of No Child Left Behind. With the HSGQE, every year students are left behind. They have attended school for 12 years, passed the required number and types of classes deemed necessary in their prospective districts, and because of difficulty in passing perhaps one of the three required components of the HSGQE, they do not receive a diploma after 12 years. Instead of the graduation excitement that often leads to anticipation for the following year's attempt at a community college, vocational school, and yes, even at a university taking some remedial classes, students with a certificate of achievement are left with a feeling of being inadequate and settling for something less than their dreams for the future. They cannot even apply for a job that requires a high school diploma. If teachers in our school district are including in their curriculum the new Alaska English language and math standards, and if students are assessed in their prospective classes on these standards, and if students pass these assessments, thus passing all the required classes, they should receive a diploma. The new state assessment system for the Alaska English language and math standards will be a much more accurate indication of what students are learning than the HSGQE, as the tests will be tailored after the new standards. Test results, the data, can then be used by teachers to help students in areas where they are having difficulty. It will not be an assessment that leaves students behind. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara. Appreciate your career as a teacher as well as your time on the school board, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
We'll go on to Cordova with Pete Hoffner. He's on the Cordova School Board. Mr. Hoffner, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much for letting me the opportunity to testify. I am in support, and our district is as well, of the repeal of Senate Bill 111, the high school graduating equivalence exam. It's a lot of students take it in their sophomore year. It has been quote unquote dumbed down. It doesn't necessarily reflect the new standards that are coming up. And we do support the repeal of the high school graduating equivalence exam. And I just wanted to say thank you for your putting this bill in there, Senator Stevens, and this will help save, you know, quite a chunk of money and time within the schools if this is repealed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate your being with us. Good to hear from you. Is there anyone in the room that would care to speak who's not signed up? We have with us Jean Michelle, who alleged legal, who drafted this. Jean, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Senator.
One of the things we've heard is the issue of phasing in for adults who have not yet completed the test. Is that something that that you're prepared to deal with?
Yes, Senator Stevens, Jean Michelle with Legal Services. We could draft a transitional language. I'm looking at the governor's omnibus bill, Senate Bill 139.
Right.
And what he did in his bill is provide for a two-year transition to allow students to come in for a two-year period, or adults to come in for a two-year period after the effective date of the bill and complete the exam if they graduated before. They don't have a July 1 effective date, but they have a July. Yeah, they do. Sorry. If they graduated before July 1 of 2014, they'd have until 2017 to complete the exam.
Okay, thank you so much, Jean. Of course, we haven't seen that bill, but we'll be talking to you and see if we can...
That's just one example.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Very good. Okay, thank you so much. Any further comments from the committee? If not, we're adjourned.